This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. See where I live.
IGN GameScoop.
Are we going to scoop?
Let's scoop.
All right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Brian Altano.
Bruh.
Sam Claiborne.
Let's scoop.
Let's. We got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about a couple superheroes. Batman. Ooh. Spider-Man.
Wah.
But first, it's time once again for Game of the Year Watch.
I like how Altano and I's head went to the same place.
I was like, is butt first superhero?
Could be. Game of the Year Watch.
Yeah.
We're halfway through 2016.
Do
first
we not
of all,
have, like,
let
a
that
chime for this.
I know we need like a.
No, they'll put that in post. It's
yeah.
Fine.
I'm pretty sure Sean handles that.
Yeah.
Halfway through 2016, once we get over the depression of that realization,
goodness,
we can talk about,
goodness gracious,
the best games of the year.
Yep.
The games we might be talking about come December, come Game of the Year consideration. Why don't we start with the latest member of the IGN 10 Club, Inside.
Yep.
Out today on Xbox One.
Super Limbo.
Our
you guys have all beaten it?
No. I'm going to start it tonight.
You beat it, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm the only one here that's played it so far.
Oh, really? Wow.
Damon, let me ask you.
Wrong crew.
Yep.
How are you liking it so far?
I'm liking it very much.
Well, you're a huge Limbo fan. Like, everybody likes Limbo, but it's one of your favorite games.
I reviewed Limbo back in the day. I gave it a 9. That's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
It'd be on my short list of favorite games. So, yeah. The developer Playdead took 4 years to make the follow-up, and it might seem like a long time to spend on a game that's only 4 or 5 hours long.
It's 1 year per hour.
It's a download, $20 downloadable game. But, man, the game is incredible.
How are those gory deaths?
There are still gory child deaths in the game.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I played Limbo and my character died.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, just that shock of like, oh, you're doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? You're going to kill that kid like
that? Spider, like, put a spike through you and then
drag you away. Yeah, it was just like,
away.
You get pierced with this, like, just big spear thing right through you.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
It's great.
Sometimes
your limbs are getting cut off.
Yep.
And now it's not even in full black and white.
Yeah.
There's little splashes of color in there, mm-hmm. too.
If man, I watch trailers and video clips of that game. I don't get it yet. I have to play it. It's like that game doesn't show very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. But you should know, if you played Limbo, it's the exact same style of game.
Yeah.
2D platforming with puzzle elements and a very, like, haunting, creepy, eerie vibe. Very mysterious. But they're, like, genuinely shocking moments, startling moments, some very beautiful moments, really, really scary
Which
characters that you encounter.
Sounds really awesome because the Limbo didn't Limbo got into a lot of sort of symbolism and allegory for what was happening or what might have been happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the very ending of the game, which I won't spoil. You should play. It's been. I feel like every 3 months it's been free on some platform.
Yeah, that's true.
So no if you haven't played Limbo by now, please get it. It's even on your phone.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
There was an ending. The ending of that game is.
It's great
and it's terrifying and very dark, and it makes you kind of go like, do I think happened what happened here? And then you go look up theories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the way I've heard people talking about the ending of Inside seems even more open than that, or there might even be multiple endings and a lot of interpretations.
Yeah.
So people have been describing this as sort of nightmarish or dreamlike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of that is really, really interesting to me. So I can't wait.
A masterclass in wordless storytelling.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. It opens up kind of the same way. You're a young boy. There's no explanation. You just know you're like on the run from these evil people that are chasing after you.
Mm-hmm. Damon, spoilers that you may not want to get into. Are there brain slugs?
There's a similar mechanic to the brain slugs.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's
I
a big
was joking.
Part of
That's awesome.
A big part of it. Yeah,
I forgot
Or you can
about
control
that.
Other people. Yeah,
taser's confirmed.
How does it feel, sort of? Because I know that like I'm a huge 2D platforming fan.
Yeah.
But Limbo is not really something I'd categorize as a 2D platformer, although it does have elements
it's
of
a
that.
Cinematic platformer.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
Say.
It's like it's not like a Mario where it's that precise. It's a little floatier. But to reference another recent game, it's not as floaty as Trials of the Blood Dragon.
Goodness gracious.
Those platforming sections.
Yeah.
So it actually feels it like a Nintendo game. It actually just feels really good to play and move around in the environment.
But Trials doesn't feel different than other Trials games, right?
The new Trials has on-foot platforming sections.
How insane is that?
Like, and it feels, and just like, feels it's terrible. Like, oh, you're just like,
yeah.
It's terrible.
Really, well, it's like when you run up a ramp with your own legs. Like, it doesn't work. because one of the things I like grew to really like about Limbo was the sort of momentum-based weight that there was in the character's movement.
There are like physics-based challenges.
I like that a lot, because it's like sort of like Mario jumps the way he jumps, and there's a speed and rhythm you can put to him in Rayman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the boy in Limbo, like, it was sort of like the way when you see a baby running and it looks like it's going to fall, and it kind of like swings back and swings forward, and just like, whoa! Oh, he made it! Okay, great!
Yeah.
That's
had,
cool. I'm glad that's
head.
Bad. Yeah. I think that's what a lot of it was.
He had a big head?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little more realistically proportioned this time around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know Inside is like, it's only been out a few hours, and it's only on Xbox One right now. It's on PC in a week or two,
yeah.
I think. We'll have to discuss this game a little bit more as more and more people get to play it, but it is an amazing experience, and I recommend anybody should check that one out. The other 10 we gave this year is The Witness. Two 10s this year.
Yeah. We gave another 10 this year to Undertale, but it came out
last year.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
Not in the running.
Yeah.
For
wow.
Game of the
so if you want to get a 10 at IGN, put out an indie game. I don't know what your AAA devs are doing out there, but
yeah,
for sure. Rein it in.
Or just whenever Kojima can finish something.
Yeah, or just take 4, 5, 6 years to make your game.
Make your darling little weird-ass indie game.
Yeah. Again, the Metal Gear breaks that whole rule, but that's the only game so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last year.
How is The Witness sitting with you? Still.
I still love it. I still think about it a lot. I just can't get over the, like, my appreciation of that game changes, like, the farther away I get from it. Mm-hmm. Like, the artistry of, there's a particular tree in that game where the branches of the tree make a face. But then if you rotate around, like, if you walk around that tree and look at that tree from a different direction, it the branches form a different face. Mm-hmm. And what you're realizing is you're seeing like a baby age to become an old man just by walking around this tree. And I'm like, how did they do that? How did they arrange these branches that make four different faces when you look at it four different ways, four different 2D spaces out of 3D space? And then I realized, oh, because they took 7 years to make this game. Like, it's so obvious where that time went. Like, even forgetting just the genius of the puzzles and how they all fit together and sort of how the puzzles integrate into the story of the game. Like, all that's great, but people are still finding new, they're not even puzzles, but like perspective puzzles of there's a statue of a woman that's almost as big as the whole island, just a gigantic woman reaching her hand out. And if you look at her from just the right perspective at one spot in the puzzle, she's like connecting her hand with someone else that's reaching up. And so that whole thing that you can see there the whole game is there for this specific sort of sight gag. And I don't know, it's wondrous and beautiful, and the puzzles are really challenging and smart. Brilliant game.
See, my issue with that is that like that's a cool parlor trick, but it didn't actually connect to anything narrative-wise or in the grander scheme of things. It was really like a wonderfully gorgeous Sudoku puzzle book.
Hmm.
Like it was it was doing puzzle after puzzle after puzzle, which was really great and really fun. But in terms of like the mystery of the island or the place, it never really gelled for me.
Sure. I mean, I also think the puzzles are, people are like, oh, it's just line puzzles. But I'm like, man, those puzzles give you the best feeling of, like, Jonathan Blow's games are the only games where I refuse to look up solutions. Like, if I'm stuck, truly stuck, like, I'll sleep on it and come back. And usually I don't have the patience for that. I'll look up a guide or wiki and just move on to the next puzzle. And, like, I had more moments in The Witness of just, like, I got it! Like, shit! Mm-hmm. I did it! like, you just don't see the answer, and then it's just there. The answer's there. Like, that moment of elation of, like, figuring something out that you feel like you've tried 100 times.
Sure.
Like, I had that experience dozens of times in that game, where a game like Limbo that I really liked, for example, like, lesser puzzle games will only give you that experience maybe once or twice for a really brilliantly designed
puzzle.
Well,
I think you're right, because in The Witness, if you cheat and you look up the solution for a puzzle, it's almost like cheating in math. And you're like, I did it, I tricked the teacher. And then you come back the next week and she's like, all right, we're gonna recap everything you know. And you're like, like, it doesn't work, it breaks you. You have to follow the steps.
It is like learning a foreign language, like learning what all the symbols mean. And I don't know, like, I can't speak highly enough about that game. It's probably still my favorite game of this generation.
Well, I just put this together that, so we've given 2 10s this year to Inside and The Witness. One is an Xbox One console exclusive, the other is a PS4 console exclusive.
Yeah. Well, and they were both,
dun, dun, dun.
They're both follow-ups.
We're biased.
I mean, Limbo.
To everyone.
There actually are parallels between the two, like Limbo and Braid. You know, we're a little bit smaller scale indie games
big
last year.
Xbox helped, Live Arcade
especially
games.
Braid helped start, you know, the indie game, game is big business trend, and now their follow-ups are bigger, you know, bigger sequels that deliver on the hype. Like, that's great.
Moving down the list of high-scoring games this year, Dark Souls 3. Mm-hmm. We gave that one a 9.5.
I don't care for it.
Well, but that's, it is.
That's just not my thing.
A lot of people do care for it very much.
Yep.
Fire Emblem Fates. Fire Emblem Fates is the name of the full game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's Birthright and Conquest.
Yeah.
I think we scored Conquest.
And Revolution.
Yeah.
The DLC.
So how does that work for Game of the Year consideration?
There's still 3 full games, and they all had 3 separate reviews.
Well, 3 full campaigns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's the two games that were the, or if you bought the special edition, you got them both, the 2 campaigns, and a 3rd DLC campaign, right?
No, you can buy all 3 of them in 1 package. That's the one I got.
Oh.
It's just all in 1 cartridge.
So so if we were to nominate one for Game of the Year come November, you have to pick one of
so
those.
So far, I've played 2 out of the 3 of them, and one of them is much better than the other one.
Okay.
You like Birthright more.
Yeah, because one of them is not leveling based. You don't actually, I mean, you level, but you can't grind. I really like grinding in games. Like, I like just making a super powerful character and really focusing on that character, and then they get married.
Oh,
it's really important.
Then they have kids.
Yeah. So that's kind of cut out of the other one, and it's kind of hard to describe. I played Dark Souls, by the way.
What?
Do you like it?
Like the first ones or
Dark Souls 3?
Did you like it?
But no. No.
What didn't you like?
I didn't like that it was really, really hard to play. Like, I really like that it's hard, but I don't like the connection between my sword and everything in that game. It doesn't feel right.
Did you play Bloodborne?
It feels like I'm slashing and it's not really hitting. No, but I hear that's a little bit better.
I think you might like Bloodborne better, because I know what the kind of action and like old school Nintendo games that you gravitate towards, especially like the Zeldas and stuff like that. Bloodborne feels somewhere between Dark Souls and...
like Castlevania?
Castlevania or Resident Evil 4 or something like that.
I think I really like, we played, what's the Bloodstained?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the combat's so nice, because you can hit, like, you know, if you hit the pixel of the character or the edge of your whip, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
And you can dodge and slide and do all this cool stuff. And Dark Souls, I felt like it was just really slow, spammy stuff. I know people get really good at it.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. And I didn't want to invest in it because it frustrated me too much. But I played a lot of it.
I don't like
it. I probably played like 20 hours.
Committed. Jeez. Committed to animations and actions. That's my big beef with
that's
the Dark Souls.
Maybe it's animations.
Like,
yeah.
It's and I'm sure people are howling about maybe you can cancel out of them with roles and stuff like that, but it's just, I agree with Sam.
Yeah, I ultimately gravitate towards Bloodborne a lot more because it is more action-based. It is a lot more forgiving.
Really?
There is that sort of punishing element to Dark Souls that people really like, but after like 15 times dying on the same boss, like you do get that level of like, I am so frustrated with this. Then if you do come back and sleep on it and you win, it's...
I really like Castlevania, you're moving towards a save point at all times.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm getting a little bit farther towards treasure, and then I'm going to run back to my save point. But finally, I break over and get to a save point. That's awesome. I like that in Castlevania.
Have you played Salt and Sanctuary?
No, that game looks really cool.
You might be into that.
I need to check that one out.
Yeah, that's like, I'll be totally honest, like, the first few hours of that game are very difficult and very grindy, but it's definitely closer to like the old school, you know, DS Igarashi Castlevanias that from any game in a while, until Bloodstained at least.
There's also Overwatch. She got 9.4, and many, many people in the IGN office are playing that game.
I am obsessed. None of you are playing it, are you? Am I the only one?
No,
it didn't grab me.
That's so interesting that I, in my 5 years here, I've never seen a game take over the IGN office in the way that Overwatch is, and yet out of the four of us, I'm the only one that it really grabbed. I mean, I've said on GameScoop before that just as a genre, I enjoy first-person shooters, just the mechanics of it, but I have a hard time just playing them online for a bunch of reasons. Like, I feel like I'm getting a little older, like the community is better than me. Yep. And Overwatch is so much the exception. That game does so many smart things to make it feel friendly and fun and feel like, I remember I went on a little rant about this on Scoop once about how even as like a low skill, I'm finally willing to admit that I'm a low skill FPS player, but you can still make meaningful contributions to your team and like, you know, help like be an A-plus player even by playing a character like Symmetra that just places turrets all around in a smart way. Like, I think that game, you know, counting assists as kills, not putting your kill-death ratio in front of everybody, hiding that stuff away so your teammates, you know, it does so much to reduce the toxicity of the FPS experience. You know, making the play of the game, you know, it can even go to someone on the losing team. It does a lot of tiny things that all add up to make it feel very friendly and fun, and I think there's a lot of value in it at a low level of play and at a high level of play. Like, I'm incredibly impressed with
it. I do like how, appreciate how it scales to what kind of player you are.
Yeah.
And it does give you the option. It's not just Call of Duty, run and gun. You can hang back and heal. You can be defensive. Like, I like that a lot. I think when it came out, I was on my 60th hour of Star Wars Battlefront and like eating up all the DLC. And in terms of like, I'm the same way as you in that, like, to get me to play, and I think all of you guys, to get me to play like an online multiplayer first-person shooter game that's predominantly online is almost impossible. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. But with Star Wars, I connected with it because I love the franchise and I love the gunplay. It felt very arcadey. So by the time Overwatch came out, I was kind of like, oh, I have no connection to these characters. I'm not crazy about this art style. And it, I tried it for a little while. I'm like, I totally get it. And it just, but then I moved on.
Yeah. No, man.
Now you're just thinking about Overwatch?
Yeah, I want to play more Overwatch.
Overwatch is not the only Watch game of the year. The other one is Firewatch.
Yo-kai, no.
Well, that was last year. We get Firewatch 9.3.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about Firewatch.
I just booked travel based on Firewatch because I have some friends that like that game. And
where'd you go?
Yosemite.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're later this summer, like at the height of like August, it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to look a little bit like Firewatch. Yeah, I know it doesn't take place in Yosemite, but I've never been to Yosemite.
You might get some fires. It might be nice.
Yeah, I know.
That's on my list of games too.
Fires, which is not what that game is about.
I played the first hour of that maybe, and that was before the PS4 patch came out, and it ran so poorly. Oh, and I'm not someone that's like sensitive to frame rates, honestly. Like, people complain about it in other games, and I just don't see it. But it was so hitchy and bad that I put it down and just never picked it back up. But I really like the voice acting and the story they were starting to tell. So
just
I don't know.
Yeah, the acting. It's really good acting in a game. It's always great to have one of those or two of those a year. Now they're getting more and more.
Yeah, at E3 I met the actress who plays the lead female character in that game.
Delilah?
Delilah, who I won't spoil her arc or whatever, but I had some words for her. Because she does some kind of foul stuff in that game. So
Did you play it?
I haven't played it yet.
Okay.
I think it was a really pretty, really kind of special thing that also wasn't very fun to play. I think it was an interesting way of telling a story. I'm still not entirely convinced that it needed to be told through a video game.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, does it need to be a game? Maybe not. Maybe it'd be a good indie film.
Yeah.
But the colors and palette and animation.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Everything Ollie Moss did was, like, so cool.
Yeah, you know he stole all that artwork from Ford.
It's just got such an Ollie Moss stamp all over it, which
it's
is
so pretty.
Great.
Yeah. And it's also, like, it's really cool seeing the main character in that game because you never really see his face or any humans in that game outside of some silhouettes of some characters, but he's got like Wreck-It Ralph
hands. Yeah.
And it's got this kind of very weighty, almost like adult Pixar feel to it.
Yeah,
all of it.
He's a fat guy.
Yeah, and I really like that. Yeah, you play the game as kind of like a fat guy with chunky legs, and he's like climbing up on stuff, and it's cool. It's got very slight Metroidvania elements to it. It's definitely an interesting experience. You can plow through it in probably 3 or 4 hours.
Plus, it's one of those games like Gone Home where it's building towards something that you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There's all these different kind of clues about different threads that might be significant and might not be. And it almost builds towards like a sci-fi conclusion, yep. and then it builds towards a mystery conclusion.
It does have that genre bait
and
switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's always really neat. I don't think it's as effective as Gone Home.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
XCOM 2 got a 9.3. I very much liked the last XCOM game.
Yeah.
The fact that this one is on PC only for now keeps me from really diving in.
My PC won't run it.
Yeah.
It runs, you know, games like Skyrim. Well, I mean, I guess Skyrim's 4 or 5 years old now. But, you know, it runs games like that fine, but it uses so much CPU that my computer's a little bit too old.
XCOM brings such joy to our companion friend, Dan Stapleton, that I give it 2 thumbs up. Just the smile on his face.
Is that joy?
I think it is.
I can't tell what that
closest he gets to joy, I think.
It's just silent commitment. with those headphones on, yeah. and he just, his mouse.
I'm experiencing such joy right now.
Love you, Dan.
Darkest Dungeons official release was earlier this year.
Oh, man, what a good year.
9.1.
God, Darkest Dungeons is amazing. So good.
But you guys all played that last year because it was a beta or something?
Well, it was early access.
Well, I played enough of it to be like, yep, this is dope, and then I put it down and wait for the full release.
So it's eligible now for this game of the year.
Yeah, it came out in February.
And it's supposed to be coming to PS4 and Vita soon as too.
Yeah.
I don't think we've gotten an official release date on that yet.
Did you get through the end of it or just eventually have your fill?
That's the end game, yeah.
Yeah, so it does, you know, I don't want to knock it too hard because it's awesome for like 20 hours, but then the very final, like the final stretch is like a slog. Like, I think I maybe read that they actually rebalanced it a little. I'm not sure. But it's in terms of mood setting, like, man, there's almost nothing better.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation for a little bit next week. I might bring that with me on an iPad, right? It's on iPad?
No.
No.
It's not? Oh, no, really?
It's only on PC right now.
Only PC for now, but
well,
it's coming to other,
maybe
other
my
platforms
MacBook
later.
Can run it.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
It'll run on low-end stuff, low-end machines.
Okay.
Two more PS4 exclusives. Uncharted 4.
Yep.
Yeah, loved it.
Not much needs to be said about that. Obviously, that's an incredible game. It'll be undoubtedly beyond many.
Acting, beauty, storytelling, I thought were all better than Firewatch, which is crazy because Firewatch is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know, great acting.
Yeah, I think the story really is the star of that game because the gameplay itself is kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
And, you know, not bad. It's fundamentally sound. It's technically wonderful. It's just doesn't really do anything that's like entirely brand new or anything like that, and that's okay. You know, it kind of goes
probably
by the
doesn't
numbers.
Need to be a game either, is what you're saying. Is it?
I mean,
is that
no? I mean, I think the
Netflix series. I think.
Well, so the thing about that game is that where that game really shines is when you walk into an open area for the first time and you start walking around, and you'll never be able to do that in a movie.
Yeah, I always love that.
Like, and the scripted sequences. I think my biggest disappointment with that game is still that the best set piece in the entire game was shown in its entirety at E3.
Yeah.
Like the Madagascar car chase sequence.
It feels impossible.
It's such a gorgeous sequence. And I think that, like, that's when you think back on Uncharted 2 and you think about the start of that game, or you think about Uncharted 3, some of the set pieces in that game, Uncharted 4 was Madagascar. And unfortunately, that was spoiled 2 E3s ago. But there's still a lot to love in that game.
Thanks, IGN.
Yeah, thanks, IGN. And Naughty Dog, Sony.
It wasn't.
E3, everyone. You're all screwed up. But I think it's kind of interesting that no one's really talking about that game anymore.
No.
Well, I recommend it out of all the games we've talked about so far. Like,
I think
easily.
So. Yeah, I think that
so many people can play that game.
Well, it's got the broadest appeal.
Yeah, sure.
It's primarily a single player experience, right?
Yeah.
Everyone buys it, they play it, and then they're kind of done with it. Whereas Overwatch is multiplayer, and people are just going to keep playing and playing and playing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, and I don't want to spoil anything here, but I think the way it sort of culminated kind of wrapped up things so well that there wasn't really, I mean, the way people were talking about Inside, right? And the way people talked about even something like Heavy Rain or interpretive,
you know. It's nothing that's really left open-ended, right?
It's pretty much, this is it, so enjoy. You know, there's speculation of where it could go next, but
I won't spoil it except to say that the ending of Mass Effect 4, I think, is maybe the most satisfying.
You mean Uncharted 4?
Yes, what did I say?
So you've already played through Mass Effect 4.
Whoa!
Give me a
scoop. No, Uncharted 4, the ending is probably one of the most satisfying video game endings.
For sure. Ever.
It's the most. I'm going to say it's my favorite video game ending of all time, just because it's so...
What about Tetris, when all the Nintendo characters are playing
instruments? Oh, that is pretty dope. My thing with Uncharted, and the more and more I play these games, it's like, so it's 2 things. It's climbing and it's shooting. And the shooting's so thoughtful in the sense that, you know, there's different weapons and grenades and running around and hiding behind cover. Like, it's this whole system. They have a whole shooting system.
What about the car pulley?
But they don't have
a whole different gameplay, Justin.
They don't have a whole climbing system. Climbing's one thing. Like, I can't believe there's no stamina meter or grip meter or way to fail. Like,
Zelda's got a stamina meter.
It might as well be a cutscene. You cannot fail the climbing.
You can't.
And that's half the game. And, like, that's such a miss. That's such a mistake.
Also, to backtrack real quick, the combat in that game is actually a step backwards from the games before. You can't lob grenades back.
Yeah.
The parrying and defensive doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. If you think about the bar fight that kicked off the beginning of Uncharted 3, that's showing you how to dodge, block, parry, and stuff like that. And almost all of that was cut out of 4. Yeah. And I think it's like to help streamline the experience, but like ultimately it stops me from replaying that game because, like you said, if you're climbing and it's pretty straightforward, you know what's going to happen next. And if the gunplay and combat is, you know, pretty straightforward, I do like the stealth elements, but all of that is pretty much by the numbers. So it makes me go like, well, I don't want to replay this. Like,
I mean, I was very impressed. Yeah, I mean, you're totally right about lobbing grenades, but the gunplay, just the, here's a big open space, here's 20 dudes, like, you figure it out. And like, if you go around this way, there's a sniper rifle, or like, the swinging was so much more than a gimmick, like swinging from one end to another and then hiding behind cover and shooting two dudes. Like, it felt like it achieved, for maybe the first time in the franchise's history, like, it's sandboxy shooting combat, like, hey, tackle this how you want. But I can't get over that climbing's half the game and it's automatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said for Uncharted 4 that Nathan Drake remembered he had a brother and he remembered he had a rope, but he forgot how to throw grenades and he forgot how to dodge.
It's pretty good. Finally, Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah.
The new Ratchet & Clank.
Awesome game.
Really?
Yeah, really fun. You'd love it, Sam.
I didn't give it a 9.
I don't know. I don't like any of the other ones, but I've played a lot of them.
Do you not like them because they're shootier more
like
than
platforming?
You just
walk through the game and shoot.
It's very linear. I think Sam and I are on the same page. We like a lot of exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not really going to get the sort of Mario 64, even Mario Galaxy, Banjo-Kazooie type feel in this game. But what's there is really, really pretty and really polished and really fun.
That's a good reason to play it, actually. Yeah. I've been really liking the gorgeousness of like those trailers for that game. But then I saw that train scene too much.
Yeah. But you got to think about the fact that like 3D platformers or even just 3D sort of mascot games in that realm have been so few and far between.
Yeah,
and to see one running on PS4 is really a sight to behold. Yeah. So give it a little bit. Play the first few missions. If you're not into it, put it down.
I totally forgot. I owe it to that team to play that game because I think they make amazing stuff.
I think that's your short list of current games to watch. For the Game of the Year watch, Inside, The Witness, Dark Souls 3, Fire Emblem Fates, Overwatch, Firewatch, XCOM 2, Darkest Dungeon, Uncharted 4, Ratchet & Clank. Cool. Some honorable mentions. MLB The Show 16 got a 9.3, but I would be shocked, shocked, if a baseball game won IGN's overall Game of the Year.
Damon would eat his hat.
Yeah. Some PC strategy affair, Hearts of Iron 4. We gave that a 9. Apparently that's really good.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Not familiar with that one.
Fixes all the problems in Hearts of Iron 3, I believe.
Pony Island got a 9.
What the?
Oh yeah, I bought Pony Island the other day. The Steam sale, but I haven't started it.
I don't think any of us have played this game.
I mean, it's one of those games where to explain it is to kind of spoil it.
That's one that totally messes with you.
It's a game that looks like it's going to be one thing, but then it takes you down a weird rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Like
a pony hole?
Yeah, a pony hole.
I remember you really liked the trailer for it, right?
Yeah, the trailer, and it's a little bit like Frog Fractions in that way, where it looks like it's going to be one thing and then subverts your expectations.
I'm really excited for this now. I really want to check this out.
Yeah, it's like $5 on Steam.
Cool.
Yeah, and I bought it, and I just have it. It's fairly short, so I'll go through it soon.
A lot of people really like this game, Jared Petty included. Doom.
Yeah.
People really like the new Doom. We gave it a 7.1, but I think a lot of people...
Which is still a good score, I want to point out to all the commenters.
Then there's that Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Oh, man.
Hey, what happened to you with that game? Didn't you, like, fall head over heels for that game for a very long time?
That game needs to be portable for
me.
Did
you just leave that town and all those wonderful people? They're all dead.
Maybe they'll port it to 3DS.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the best Harvest Moon game ever made. But I went through the thing, so it's got kind of a 3-year story. 3 years of, you know, you go through spring, summer, fall, winter. And I did that 1.5 times, and I just didn't want to go through fall and winter again.
Those are tough months.
I feel that way in Animal Crossing.
I just didn't like the gameplay quite as much, where it's much more about like feeding your animals hay, and I like the crops. I like planting crops and turning my berries into wine. And
I actually love fall and winter in games now that I live in California and don't actually get a dedicated fall and winter.
I do like winter
in Animal
Crossing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
permafog.
I think being on antidepressants. Just like
an
this.
Even keel.
Just there.
I also just binged on it really hard. Like, I put in 20 or 30 hours. Like, it was all I did for, like, night after night after night after night. And then I'm sure if I would have doled it out, I would have played it more.
Right.
Yeah.
You said it's getting ported?
No, I said maybe they'll port it.
No, they announced at E3 it's coming to console.
3DS is what I was saying.
Oh, 3DS.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that.
I mean, console just makes sense, though. Yeah. I could play it on console. I just love to play it on the train every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually restarted Animal Crossing on 3DS just because it didn't move over when I moved all my stuff to my new 3DS.
Sad. You know, Zach just started playing it.
Yeah, Zach started playing it too, so it's really cool.
You guys can trade fruit.
Yeah, we're going to start a little Animal Crossing 3DS resurgence in the office.
Oh my god, I'll start it back. Yeah. I'll
get back in there. Pay Nook all that money you owe.
Oh, that's going to be so, my town's going to, they're going to be so mad at me.
Nuke it.
Yeah.
Nuke the town, start fresh, kill the cats.
I would never.
Brian, how good is Lego The Force Awakens?
Oh my god, it's awesome.
It's so fun. It's you should totally play that game. It's so fun. I'm not a Lego game guy.
Yeah, I don't like any of the Lego games. That sounds so cool. It looks great.
I've never bought a Lego game. I've never really sat down and played a whole Lego game, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is so fun.
I was actually almost late for work this morning because I was playing, I like to play video games before work.
It's my favorite thing about
watching a movie. I wake up early and just consume media and start the day.
And cereal.
And coffee. Get the prize. Put the cereal back. And one of the things about this game is that the missions are very long and very varied. Like,
I found that out the hard way.
Isn't that nuts?
Even the first real mission is like they take Kylo Ren up to the Star Destroyer, and then you have to fly the X-Wing down back to the planet.
You land on
Jakku.
And
then you take over as Rey, and then she's playing it, and I was like, surely there have been checkpoints and it saved my game. I'm going to exit out. And then when I come back to it, it's like, nope. Start all that over again.
Yeah, I put my PS4 in suspend mode today so I can go home and fly that Millennium Falcon through the crashed ships on Jakku.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm really hoping it keeps together and I don't have to do that entire mission over because it's like very, very long. Which is weird because the LEGO games make you want to replay the missions to unlock stuff because you'll go through a level and it'll be like, well, Luke Skywalker is needed for this, but you don't have him yet. And when you replay, he's there. So we'll see how that holds up for multiple replays through a very, very long level.
Yeah. Marty called it the best LEGO game since Harry Potter, which the LEGO Harry Potter was dope as hell. So that got me really excited.
It's really fun.
How's the space combat?
It's better.
I mean, it's like arcadey.
Better than Star Fox.
As Marty said.
Yeah, actually, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's much, much more simplified and it's like Baby's first Rogue Squadron, but that's still really awesome.
It's still be fun.
Like,
does it look like Star Wars when you're in the space panels?
It looks like Lego Star Wars.
It still does.
Yeah.
You were mentioning this yesterday, Brian. The Lego, your characters are very cartoony in Lego, but then the backgrounds are like kind of like stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, like it actually looks like the Endor from Battlefront. Yeah. Like it's like fully rendered foliage and stuff like that. So it reminds me a lot of like being a kid and playing with Legos in like your backyard or something like that.
Remember they have like a toy commercial and they're like, and then there's like this giant canyon and like a gorge and the car goes through a bunch of like barrels that are made for it, but all you get is the crappy car.
I was always so jealous of those kids with these like elaborate babbling brooks in their backyards, and they're just like set up these G.I. Joe wars all over it.
I feel I played like with toys like a creek like a couple times growing up because there wasn't a near house, but you just get muddy.
Yeah, it's just
your toys
gross.
Just get muddy.
Yeah.
It's never as fun as it seems on commercials.
And the G.I. Joe's legs snap and you have to bring it to your mom and his crotch is all dangly and it's those are bad toys.
And here are a few Damie's picks for games that I've really, really enjoyed this year, but they'd probably be a hard sell for me to convince.
Damie's choice.
Damie's damsels.
My thing. These are Damie's damsels in distress when it comes to
Triple D.
Convincing the other editors to vote for
Damie's
for Game
Damies.
Of the Year. I love Enter the Gungeon. I've been playing that almost every day since it came out on PS4. It's a roguelike game with cool pixel art, lots and lots of fun guns to find. I love Superhot.
Yeah.
Very cool twist on the first-person shooter genre.
Yeah, played that.
I really liked Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, me too.
Still playing that one. That one's really fun. Hearthstone Whispers of the Old Gods is a whole expansion that totally added loads of new cards, and they also sort of changed the whole way that games are played in that game. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool.
You be you, Damon.
Finally, Broforce on PS4 was amazing.
Yeah.
I loved Broforce.
It was it had some like technical hiccups here and there.
Didn't run super hot.
No. It did not. But everything that was there was like great. Yeah. Like I love how that game just screams at you and just throws you in this 8-bit battle and you have all the knockoff 80s and 90s action.
Plus it's like
characters.
It seems so dumb. You know, it's like there's like Bronan the Brobarian.
Yeah.
And it just seems like this mindless, like, run-and-gun shooter, but it's actually not. There's, like, platforming and stealth elements to it, and like, physics elements.
It feels like if somebody was, like, had an initiative to make, like, Contra games forever. Like, there was never a new video game industry that happened. 3D never happened.
That's what Cuphead is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just really pretty Contra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
And finally, some notable misses from this year. Low-rated games. Homefront: The Revolution.
Oh, yeah. Sad. No,
probably not going to be up for
Could have been a contender.
or maybe definitely not. I got a 5 from IGN. TMNT Mutants in Manhattan.
Oh, that 4.9. Hurt so much.
You got the, you
it's
got the
platinum bad, games, too.
That game demoed so well, too. They brought it to the office. We played it for an hour, 4-player. Mm. We ate pizza. It was great.
Yeah. Were you a turtle?
Yeah, I think so. I transformed. But that's like, that's the thing about a game like that. Like, everything we saw was in that hour, and then they just kept repeating it until it was over.
And finally, just released is Umbrella Corp from Capcom. Resident Evil, first-person shooter, weird spin-off.
Slash third-person shooter.
Got a 3.8 from IGN.
Yep.
Goodness Ouch. Gracious.
Not Game of the Year.
Nope.
It wins the award for not Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's
very sad.
Do we have a Razzies? We should.
We should. All right, that is your Game of the Year watch for the halfway mark of 2016. Let's quickly wrap up the news of the week. That Batman Return to Arkham was supposed to be out next month in July, but it's been delayed indefinitely.
Yeah,
scoop.
Return to Arkham is the remaster package that collects Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, Arkham Origins.
You know you're in trouble when you're a game publisher and you release a side-by-side comparison of the original and your remaster, and the original looks better.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, this was not a good-looking game. Yeah. They bumped up the... like the dark values on the levels so hard that you can actually, or crush the blacks, I think they call it. It looked like you took a photo in an Instagram and just like messed with it until it lost all of its value.
I'm glad they're doing the right thing. So, but the other rumor is that they're also going to add, isn't it missing one of the games?
It's missing Origins.
Yeah. So maybe they'll add in Origins to it.
Yeah. Or maybe all four of them.
Yeah. Even Arkham Knight?
I don't know.
Or they'll cancel the entire package outright, which is. Yeah.
I would totally love to play an HD remaster of Arkham Asylum in particular.
Me too. That's actually the only one I would go back
to. If they put in work to make it really look like the Tomb Raider remaster or...
The Definitive Edition.
Yeah, the Definitive Edition. That was really up-resed. But a lot of the remasters we've been playing have not really been ported that well.
Yeah.
To me, it's like a textbook example of a franchise that got too big for itself. Like, the intimate setting of Arkham Asylum
was
so awesome.
Yeah.
And the Metroidvania elements to it, and then just throwing that into, like, a big, bloated open world
An
with
empty
a car.
Open world, because everybody has to be explained away.
It's Christmas, so they're sleeping. They're waiting for their presents.
Yeah, waiting for Santa. Mm. And then speaking of remasters, we're recording this Wednesday afternoon. It's going up Thursday morning, which means we can talk about the Bioshock Collection.
It's real.
It's announced by the time you are listening or watching this. Mm-hmm. Bioshock 1, 2, and Infinite, one package.
And with all the DLC.
And with all the content, yeah.
I never played, I played the first 2 or 3 hours of 2.
Yeah, I never played
the rest. So.
Yeah, I never played any of 2.
Seemed
and
like
I actually, we talk about Bioshock a lot on shows, hugely influential game, but it's actually been years and years and years since I played it. So, you know, I'm super happy to go back to Bioshock 2.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't nearly as negative on 2 as most people were. It doesn't do anything new, but it also doesn't do anything, like, sacrilegious to the franchise.
The Minerva's Den DLC is supposed to be...
Yeah, and I've never played tops. That. And people have been talking about it for years. One of the things that I did have a problem with in 2 was it gets very monster closety by the end, where they just go like, well, we have this, this, and this. We're going to throw it all at you. Yeah. So you end up going through a bunch of waves of the same 7 or 8 enemies in variation. Mm-hmm. But the world is so pretty, and the decisions you make in that game actually have like a really significant impact on the ending.
Yeah.
And some of the endings of that game are just very dark and weird. It's definitely worth playing through.
Yeah. I think it's coming out this fall. I don't remember. I didn't catch the actual release date. But actually, to me, that strikes me as kind of a strange time
September
to release.
It's
in September?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go up against new AAA game releases.
Well, you're going up against Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah. That's what happened with the Uncharted Collection last year. It's like, I probably would have played that any other time.
In the summer, yeah.
That's why I would think July, when Return to Arkham was supposed to come out, and mm-hmm. like that would be a good time to release these remaster collections, right?
Yeah, like July
Before
or August.
Before the flood of the
totally.
Games.
That would have been
summer
perfect.
Summer games would be really cool for those. Yeah. Crash Bandicoot Collection?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
That's coming.
I'll play it.
Yeah.
Never played any of those games.
I mean,
really?
I'm excited. Like, I feel like
you played them in Uncharted 4?
I did play them in Uncharted
4. Spoilers!
What year? Is Bioshock 10 years old? Did that
No.
Game, 2006?
It's not. It wasn't 2006. It's probably 2008,
maybe?
8.
I mean, I still lived in Iowa.
Were you here when it was reviewed?
It's 07, sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's 9 years ago, and I don't think I've played through that game since its launch year.
Wow.
That's practically, like, how much of that do I really remember? Like, I remember the Big Daddies and all that stuff, but I feel like I can go through that game again, and, like, the audio diaries will feel new, and the surprises will feel
new.
And 10 years
before that was, like, 1997, so think about that jump.
Goodness
having
gracious,
seen the footage of the remaster, obviously, Bioshock Infinite looks the best of the bunch. It's the stuff they lean on the most during the trailer, and it's gorgeous looking. Like it's, and like I have a lot of problems with that game. I will never replay it again. But it looks really pretty now.
Yeah, I like the music in it.
Oh, the music in BioShock in general is so understated. It is
well, in Infinite, how they did those weird versions of like
you
know, somebody singing Creedence that shouldn't have known.
Yeah, we also have all these sort of like
Barbershop Quartet, Beach Boys. Yeah.
It's very shrilly string instruments that are just terrifying.
The original score is good.
Yeah,
people cackling maniacally.
Yep, there's the Baguette Boy. Do you know about him?
Yeah, no. The bread boy.
Do you know about Baguette Boy?
Yeah.
Baguette
Boy. Are you saying baguette?
Baguette.
Baguette.
Baguette! Baguette Boy.
Just Google it.
A statistic.
I will.
I'm going to throw out a statistic at you guys. You ready?
I'll catch it.
20.8 million is the number of...
Xbox One sold.
PlayStation Plus subscribers.
Wow. That's like half.
Well, half it is of half. PS4 sold, but they're just saying subscribers, so it includes Vita, PS3, people who didn't upgrade yet from PS3.
Yeah.
But still, it represents half of the
people
PS4
people getting free
sold.
Games every month.
Does that strike you as a lot or not a lot?
That is a lot.
That's a huge number, because they all pay, what, $50 a year? Is it 50 or 60?
It's 50.
It's $50
a year. It's like half a Netflix subscription. A lot of people have Netflix subscriptions, so that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what... 20.8 times 50 is, that's impossible to find out. But it sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like, if you pay 50 for it, you're kind of a sucker.
Is that $1 billion a year?
Like I said, no one knows what that number is.
Yeah, well...
It's trillion.
We'll ask a scientist.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have some scientist contacts. Some contacts in the science community.
Yeah, I mean, usually you can get PlayStation Plus for a full year for like 30, 35 bucks if you look in the right spots.
Yeah, you'll find it on sale.
Yeah, sales and stuff like that. To me, it's just a really cool... I think my favorite thing about PlayStation Plus is it gets a lot of people playing the same game at the same time that they never would have played otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Gone it's Home also, for June was one of the Gone Home and NBA 2K16.
Peas in a pod.
Yep. Just the best... the bed buddies in the world.
I mean, the big one is Rocket League.
Yeah. And that's like just
free on PS
to
Plus.
Throw that out to people and have millions of people playing it right off the bat. Like, it's very, very cool. So a bunch of people played Gone Home for the first time ever. And I think that's just like a really special, really cool thing to have happen.
Sam, you, among your other duties here, run IGN Wikis, and you see every month a big spike in whatever the free game is. You know.
Dishonored, whenever that goes on sale, that one is really, really game helpy. Like, everybody wants to go back to that guide. I think that's always really cool. We have a good guide for that one. But yeah, we have guides for all the games you just mentioned, except for NBA. We don't have a guide for that one.
No guide?
Shoot the ball into the hoop and win.
You probably don't need a guide for Gone Home, but there are some cool trophies in that game.
Yeah.
And some of them are like speedrun based.
A lot of cool secrets in that game, too.
That's cool.
The basketball.
What's the basketball?
It's not real. There probably is a basketball in that game.
Yeah, I think so. There's an X-Files tape.
You can throw a condom in that game.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Doug did. And Doug wonders...
Hi, Doug.
Hello, Douglas.
So Doug is wondering, has Sony gone too far?
Ooh.
That's it?
That's what he writes in.
Discuss.
Doug says, Insomniac's Spider-Man game was a huge and exciting announcement at E3. Insomniac and the Spider-Man universe seemed like a match made in heaven. But after the hype of the excellent conference wore off, I thought, is it right for Spider-Man to be exclusive to the PS4? Sure, console companies should develop exclusive games to differentiate their product. You want to play Horizon Zero Dawn, buy a PS4. Gears of War 4, you need an Xbox. These are IPs that said companies develop themselves, with studios they either own or closely work with. I say that's fair game. But to lock down a popular and beloved staple of pop culture like Spider-Man seems too far. Think of the outrage when Microsoft bought the one-year exclusivity for Rise of the Tomb Raider, and that was at least a timed deal. Is there a double standard?
Well, yeah. Did you complain when Sunset Overdrive was exclusive?
Because but Spider-Man belongs to the people.
Yeah,
I think
that's
Doug,
the difference.
Here's
right?
what I'm going
to
say.
Spider-Man belongs to Sony. You want to go to court? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows that connection. That the films are for Spider-Man are still under the control of Sony.
Yeah, but
which
gotta
is already
it's
frustrating.
It's got to be a separate licensing deal.
This isn't a Spider-Man Homecoming game, right?
I'm sure that it was easier for them.
No, this is not a movie tie-in game. Know. He's wearing a completely different
nothing
suit.
Nothing to do with it?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I mean, maybe they could have made some calls and helped him out. I mean, look, I'm going to say, Doug, I was skeptical going into your question, and he really won me over and convinced me.
There you go.
I'm going to say yes.
Sony has gone too far.
I think if you own an Xbox One, it's really sad that you're not going to get to play Spider-Man. More sad than, you know, not getting to play God of War or Horizon or these other games made by Sony Studios. Like, if you're a big fan of Spider-Man, like, that sucks. Yeah. It feels like something like Madden or one of those games that should be on, you know, lots of different platforms. You know,
why, though? Because it's big and it's popular?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Or that it's not native to a game. Because Super Mario was more recognized than Mickey Mouse in 1990.
Because it's not a Sony brand.
Mario's one of the most recognizable
Yeah, but it is not a Sony character.
It is a Sony-owned character. And
They own the movie rights. It's a Marvel character.
But ostensibly, they have connected a Sony movie right-owned character with what is basically or was a Sony official third-party studio.
Yeah, but you don't have to see that game on Sony TV movie screens. Like, you don't have to see the movie on Sony movie screens.
But you also have to understand that Sony was probably the ones that connected the dots on this, which means that they put money behind it. And they made this happen. It's sort of like the Bayonetta 2 situation, where people were like, why is Bayonetta 2 not on all the other consoles? And they're like, well, because Nintendo paid for Bayonetta 2. Mm-hmm. Like, the same way, Final Fantasy
Tomb Raider
7.
2 on Xbox.
Yeah.
Like that, I think we had this very same discussion about how that felt weird and a little bit crappy that now Tomb Raider, who a bunch of people played and loved that first game, all of a sudden was an exclusive.
Yeah.
And this is the same situation. Sometimes all the time, exclusives suck if you don't have the system.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Well, because
exclusives are bad if you don't have the system.
It feels weird to complain about
an expectation that if you buy a PS4, you're not going to be playing Gears of War or Halo. I think
but
if you
what about
Xbox,
all the games that are unannounced that you end up wanting to play? You know, there's a bunch of cool games.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an expectation that you're going to miss out on a big game like Spider-Man if you own one console over another. Yeah, that feels bad to me.
But where's the backlash then? There was a huge backlash when Tomb Raider went exclusive to Xbox.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be the same thing.
Yeah, people want a PS4.
Well, okay, yeah.
Like Doug just convinced me.
That's probably exactly right.
Yeah.
Now the backlash starts now with Justin.
I don't have an especially nuanced, like maybe I'll walk out of this room and think about it for a minute and my, you know, opinion will evolve. But like on the face of it, like I totally get Doug's point.
Yeah.
I think it's because you connect Spider-Man with a company like Activision, who is third party, who put out Spider-Man games for what felt like decades. Not a lot of them were very great. There were the classic ones. Spider-Man 2 is awesome. Yeah, and then we haven't seen Spider-Man in a while, and now he's back, and I think that's because... What?
I'll go ahead. You finish. You go ahead.
Okay. And now he's back, and I think that's because Sony funded this. And Sony connected this with one of their studios who's been developing exclusively for them for years, outside of their last game, which was exclusive to Microsoft consoles, which I don't think Doug was complaining about, because nobody gives a whatever word I can say there about the dude in Sunset Overdrive, like
Lady
Spider-Man, or Lady, whoever you play.
It's whoever you customize.
Man, Sunset was so good. Yeah. No, the reason I was making that face is because here's what Marvel does. They pull an Aladdin, and then they let Microsoft make their own Spider-Man game.
Yeah, that's really funny. Mm-hmm.
Well, they will, and that's exactly it. And that's why that quietly the best announcement out of this was not the new Spider-Man game, is that Marvel is now...
They're getting real serious.
They're basically getting serious about games, and they're creating a dedicated game arm to connect themselves with other studios who are great at doing what they do.
And there's no better studio to handle Spider-Man than is it Insomniac?
Yeah. And if you look at the way...
I just knew they made Injustice. Like, I played the Injustice games.
Yeah.
They're open-world superhero games. That is super generic.
You're thinking
Infamous.
Infamous, yeah.
They're so generic. They're like, this is going to be awesome. There's finally like a world for them to inhabit.
If you look at what Marvel's done with directors,
I don't think make Infamous. That's Sucker Punch.
Are you conflating Sucker Punch? Because we made this.
You're conflating Sucker Punch
because
Sucker Punch was rumored to be developing the new Spider-Man game for a long time.
Yeah.
And there was that bait and switch at E3 where we're like, oh, it's Spider-Man, must be Sucker Punch.
But the reason this makes sense is because of Sunset Overdrive. You do so much rail grinding and kind of flying around in that game.
Again, a generic open world superhero game.
They're already like halfway there with Sunset, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't call Infamous or Sunset generic. I would say that they're not licensed by a recognizable character.
I always thought the electric powers are just like.
Yeah, it is a little bit sort of like, well, here's comic book powers. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what Marvel's done with with studios, with studio heads, with directors, with actors, actresses. They're connecting their franchises and properties with the right talented people, and they're not just haphazardly being like, here's our crap, take care of it. Yeah. If they can start doing that with games, then yeah, I think you'll see a Marvel character exclusively on an Xbox platform if they can find the right studio to do that, you know? So it's a matter of finding out what fits where.
That's a fun feature. Like, who should make the Captain America game? Who should make the Iron Man game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
said it out loud. Now you have to do it.
Yep. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Bing.
It's done. It's just been added to your to-do list.
I'll just make Chloe do it.
All right, it's time for Video Game 20 Questions. Everyone knows how this works. You, the listener slash viewer, email me your game suggestion to gamescoop@ign.com. I pick the mystery game, and my panel has 20 yes or no questions to guess said mystery game. This week's suggestion comes from Christopher Kalandaropoulos.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You did that name. That was good.
I would've been practicing all day. Let the questioning begin.
I heard there was a crippling blow to this team last week.
Oh, a little controversial.
What happened? You guys lose?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Because neither of these two are here. I'll keep my mouth shut.
You asked me and I didn't give you the answer you wanted.
Previously on 20
Questions. If I said that I thought Professor Layton was a soft Nintendo character, would you agree with me?
Is Professor Layton
soft? Meaning,
is it? The question was,
does this game feature recognizable Nintendo characters? And I was like,
soft yes.
Soft yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, he's not the most known dude.
He's not a Nintendo character.
That's what he's asking you.
Is he not?
No.
Well, so.
But Damon didn't know either, so.
Nintendo does not own the rights to him, but Nintendo publishes his games. He's only ever been on Nintendo hardware.
They publish one of the games.
And in my mind, I associate him with Nintendo. So I was like, soft yes.
I mean, I feel like it would have thrown you guys a even bigger curve if he had just said, like, no, he's not a Nintendo character.
Yeah, no, not me.
I associate him and
sure.
his kid.
Whatever, the hack
anyway,
question would have solved this.
His son.
I filed a grievance, and we sent it all the way to the top, and we're awaiting the results.
Well, no. Well, what's great is that we're getting 21 questions this week.
Do we get an extra question this week?
No.
What are you doing?
Wouldn't that be great?
Such a schemer.
Can you see
a little bit of a schemer.
In, you know, one way or another, in this game, can you see your character's hands?
No.
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. I was not expecting that. Where does that leave me?
I mean, now we don't even know if this dude has hands.
Maybe it's not even a dude.
It'd be like a lizard.
Yeah, I didn't think this
Or maybe it's a blind person with hands.
Like Echo the Dolphin.
Lizards have hands.
Echo the Dolphin has fins.
Yeah.
Ask if it's a dolphin.
Ooh, but
There's
wait.
Been hundreds of
Here's fins. No, we already had
Wait. If this were a Mario game, I would say, yeah, you see his hands, but Mario's wearing gloves.
Those are hands. Come on. We can't do that.
Can you settle the gloves hands a bit?
I wouldn't have been that clever to say no.
All right.
If they're clothed, it counts.
Those are hands. If somebody walked in and they were wearing gloves, you'd be like, oh my God, what are those?
Where are your
say
hands?
You know those were hands.
All right. Good.
I'm just gonna let this play out.
So far, we've determined that you can't see your hands.
What's the one we always ask about year? Was this released before?
But was it released after, you know, January 1st, 2000? I can ask that one. You can ask
that
one.
There we go.
You're asking if it was released after January 1st, 2000? No.
So this is a pre-January 1st, 2000 game.
Yes.
Is this a console game?
No. Let's say no. Yes. No. The answer is no. I'm sorry to
not
be
a
wishy-washy.
Game.
The answer is no.
Okay.
But there's a clue in how he answered it.
Nah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
There is. He doesn't know if it was ported to consoles.
I want to know the same thing. Should we ask 1990?
This is known as a PC game in the same way Professor Layton is known as a Nintendo character.
Yes.
Soft.
Whoa. Wow, that's a really good question. You totally just solved it for us.
Well, no, that wasn't my question. I was just clarifying on the previous question.
I thought we were just clarifying, but did I give you a freebie?
Yeah, no. You gave us a freebie.
I said it as a statement.
So it's a PC game.
All right, yeah. So was this game released after January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
So it's a 90s game. 90s PC game where you can't see your hands.
We got 21 questions.
So I think it's got to be a ship. You got to be a ship or a puzzle blocks.
No. But
so
what about
has to
like
be one of the two?
What about like you know StarCraft or Command and Conquer?
What if you have hooves?
You can't see hands in StarCraft.
But not your hands. You see hands.
That's your hands, though. You be that dude.
Have you ever played StarCraft?
Wait, so it's between 90 and 2000, and yeah. It's on PC,
yes.
And you can't see your hands. Did we get any other information?
Do you play?
Do we? There's no other information as of this point, right?
No.
Is it a puzzle game?
No.
All right, so it's not. You don't play as blocks.
No. What are we doing here?
Is this a 3D game?
What does that mean?
3D graphics.
Okay. Like not a.
I don't think so.
What? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Is this a real time strategy game?
No.
What do you?
I'm thinking it's worms.
Admit that there are gray areas.
Worms do not have hands.
There are gray areas here, but
all those gray areas.
When it comes down to yes or no, the answer is no.
What about lemmings? Do lemmings have hands?
From gloves forward, we've had gray areas.
No, but you're not playing as the lemmings.
We guessed lemmings.
You're guiding them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah, we nailed it. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, yeah, well, anytime. I like to answer questions 2 weeks late.
Hey, Brian, you're up. I asked if it was a real-time strategy game, and he said
You know how I always, like, when we, like, get in the later questions, I try to rush you guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually got some people saying, don't rush them. I like hearing you guys try to think it out.
Oh, interesting.
All right, let's go back to this gloves thing.
Okay.
Do you play as a ship?
No.
Damn it.
That was your one.
So now it's not a block. It's not a ship. It's got to be a man with no hands that you don't see his hands at least.
You don't see your hands in any first person.
No, but or you're like an abstract, like, you know, it's like BC or like Age of Empires, except it's not an RTS.
Or what if it's like one of those like first person
or like a point
crawling games, like point and click, yeah.
Is this game part of a series?
Mm. Yes.
Or no, you just said maybe it's a first person game where you don't see your hands.
Yeah,
yeah, I
like,
said
do you
that.
See your hands in like Half-Life? Like
no.
I don't know. Or you only see the gun.
Only if you're holding the cross.
Yeah, but that counts.
That counts. It's holding something.
But that's also a clearly 3D game, and all shooters are.
Yeah,
but
he did say.
Unless he's talking about Doom or Wolfenstein.
Those have punching.
Which are unclear if they're 3D or not.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
so he's probably talking about one of those.
Yeah, but can't be those games, because you see your hand in Doom. You punch.
Yeah, maybe Damon didn't think it through that well.
Well, then this whole thing's getting real screwed up.
Is it an FPS?
No.
Okay.
That's 10.
So we just established two things, that it's not an FPS and what was the one before?
You're not a strategy.
No.
It's not RTS and you don't play as a ship.
Not a puzzle
game.
No.
I asked one, but you guys weren't paying attention. It was part of a series.
Yeah, and it is part of a series.
Oh.
And it's in the 90s, and you figured out it's on PC.
And it's not an FPS.
And it's not 2D or 3D.
No, it's not 3D.
Yeah, not 3D.
This is hard as hell.
Hmm. It's a pretty tough one. It's a real pickle.
You guys have a lot of information here.
All right. Let's get into like what your objective is, what you have to do with combat. Like, are you killing? Are you saving people? Are you
Because PC
doing a mystery?
PC has a lot of like it more so than console games. Like, you know, either combat or like The Sims.
Yeah.
The Sims was 3D, but like maybe something like that.
Right.
Where you don't play as your Sim. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
SimCity.
Is this game a sim?
Yes.
I think we are getting there with that one.
That's good. I like that.
Do you manage, should we ask if you manage a city or people?
Is it like a tycoon, like Zoo Tycoon? Or like?
I think it's just SimCity, first of all. But.
Oh, good call. Yeah. 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 What are you, the mayor? I don't know who you are in SimCity.
In some versions, you can see your hands. No, you can't.
Will Wright's the mayor in the SNES version. Yeah, but that game came to the console. SimCity came to SNES.
Yeah, but it's also unclear whether it's 3D or 2D, and that one's clearly 2D, whereas the Tycoon games are 3D.
SimCity's been on so many consoles, I feel like Damon would have definitively been like, yeah, both.
That's true.
So it's got to be, I'm thinking like Sim Ants or some nonsense like that never came
anywhere.
But
did SimCity...
Does this game...
Yeah, SimCity was on Super Nintendo.
Does this game have people in it, have humans in it?
Yes.
Okay. So definitely not.
Sorry if that was a dumb question.
No, that was a good question. That rules out Sim Ants.
Do you manage a city in this game?
No.
There you go.
All right.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Well, there goes that.
No, but we know it's a sim.
So it could be Sims or it could be Sim Ants.
So what else? This other Zoo Tycoon, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
That's true. Is it part of the Sim series?
Well, Roller Coaster Tycoon has people in it. So yeah. Yes.
Can you answer that one?
What are you asking?
Is it part of the Sim series?
No.
Of Sim
it's totally a good question.
No.
It's a smarter question than...
So I don't know a lot of the other simulators.
Do you build roller coasters?
Yes.
Ah! Is it Sim Ant?
No.
No.
Is it Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yes, it is.
Cool. All right.
Is that so? 1999. Is that game in 3D?
No.
Okay.
Not the original.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is the original one in?
It's like SimCity, where it's like really nicely rendered stuff, but it's not. You can't.
Yeah,
render.
I mean, it's.
I don't know that
game
at all.
It's 3D in the sense that it's like an isometric viewpoint, but it's 2D sprites in the first game. Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was either ported to consoles or later editions came to consoles.
So when you ride your roller coasters, it doesn't go into 3D?
Not in the original game.
It's like isometric
but
in the original.
But can you see your hands?
No, you just place things. You plop them down.
Like your hands or the people's like, hands?
Can you see other people's hands?
I don't think
hands?
You actually ride the roller coaster.
You exist as an abstract concept
see,
in that
what
game.
We screwed up was we didn't say, can you see any hands in this game?
Yeah.
If we had said that, then like, yeah, there's some hands
we'll
in that game.
We'll start there. We'll start our hands.
I took us down a real weird path.
You did, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prison rules.
It was developed by Chris Sawyer Productions.
Wow.
Dude, Roller Coaster dude right Tycoon there. Is dope.
Yep. He's still in business, but it was published by MicroProse, and they're not still in business.
They're not in business.
Former IGN editor Scott Bromley told me about, he's probably told you about this, about like playing Roller Coaster Tycoon for like an entire year straight.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I've heard the Uniracer story.
Yeah, 40 hours in a row.
Have you heard about the Death Coaster?
No.
Someone made a Death Coaster in that game where the way that the physics work is like once a ride starts, there's no like stopping it. The ride just has to go, and they figured out a way that the whole ride is it goes down a super tiny decline and then just loops through the whole park, and it takes I think like 10,000 years for the ride to finish.
Oh my God, those poor people on that ride.
And so it's just this death clock now, and they can't get off. They're just trapped on the ride. Just
I
want to
see that scene in Wreck-It Ralph too. With
I think
them,
I think Kotaku.
Like, I'm missing my whole life.
Yeah,
you can my really... granddaughter was graduated today.
I thought I tortured people by just taking out all the bathrooms.
That's a good way to do it.
That's pretty good. Well done, everybody, and thank you for your suggestion, Christopher Kalandropoulos. It's a pretty good one. That's all the scoops we have for this week. We have a long weekend here in the U.S. Oh, yeah. We're going to celebrate the 4th of July. So everyone here, all of our U.S. viewers and listeners, have a great holiday weekend. If you are not in the U.S., you can participate too. Eat a hot dog and shoot off some fireworks and drink some
practice
beer.
Practice fireworks safety. Yeah,
buy a gun.
Get nope, fat, don't do that. Blow stuff up.
Don't do that last thing, but yeah. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.